Okay, so the sermon this morning, it's a new kind of mini sermon series, about 6 weeks. So I thought I had an idea, a little thought popped in about punctuation. So loosely based a sermon series on punctuation. And many years ago, there was a sermon that we heard. And part of that message, this great guy talked about punctuation and that rhythm in life and the rhythm in our lives. So a sentence, a paragraph, a book, etc., etc., a written paragraph needs its punctuation, or else it won't make really any sense at all. It's just words written, it's just a jumble of kind of thoughts, and it doesn't really have that sense of structure, of form, of emotion, etc. So in our own lives, don't we need that punctuation? So the pause moments, the full stop moments, the exclamation marks, and maybe that the semicolon, obedience, the semicolon, that structure, that foundational work. So bear with me as we go through and explore the punctuation and hopefully link that to something that is of scripture, something that can help us to go, yeah, do you know, that's good. We need to be more like that as a people who believe in Jesus, a people of faith in a world that is ever demanding and noises that demand our attention, that we need to build in rhythms, patterns, disciplines, and then, i.e., punctuation in our lives, to have that richness of life, that fullness of life that we read in the scripture. So this morning, I can't quite read that. This morning, semicolon, obedience, or is it desire, disappointments, excuses, shortcuts? Hopefully it'll make sense. So let us pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, that we can continue in our worship through a message unpacking something that points to your truth, something that is forged from scripture, something that helps to shape and inform who we are as your people. I pray that any words that are not from you, anything that is just a load of waffle, may that not take root in our lives. But I pray that anything that is from you, that you want to speak to us through these words, through this preparation, something there that will resonate in our hearts, may those words, those heavenly seeds, take root, nourish us, feed us, inspire us, maybe challenge us, but through it all, with that desire to want to become more like you. Amen. Amen. Okay. So we are in a battle, a spiritual battle that is raging. It's a raging battle and it is fierce. I quite like this guy's artwork, Oliver Pengelly, or Pengilly, I think it's Pengelly. And he does a lot of prophetic artwork. So we are in a battle. There is a mental and a spiritual battle that runs throughout Scripture. And this conflict operates very much on a spiritual level. Not against physical opponents, but against the unseen powers and dark forces. For those who are part of the Armour of God sermon little series we did, you will resonate there. We looked at that. And for those who are not aware of the scripture, Ephesians 6:10 is a wonderful set of scripture about the armour of God, 10 to 17. This internal tension is deeply personal. Even those committed to God's law, God's rule, God's reign, experience competing impulses. Hiya. Hello. Not great this morning? Nah? Okay, good. Welcome. Can we swap? Do you want to? Yeah. So that internal tension, even for those committed to serving God, serving his rule and reign, and being nurtured and transformed, there are still competing impulses with destructive desires warring against righteous intentions. Warring against righteous intentions. Romans 7, 21, 25. The mind itself becomes a target of corruption and deception. Whew. Which is why the struggle requires deliberate, sustained effort. Whew. What an opening line, opening paragraph. That destructive desire that wars, W-A-R-S, against righteous intentions. The mind becomes a target of corruption and deception, which is why the struggle requires deliberate, sustained effort. Wow, seamless. So let us read Romans 7, verses 21 to 25. David, thank you before. If you would like a Bible, we do have some Bibles available. Please put your hand up and the stewards will bring a Bible to you. Let's read Romans 7, 21 to 25, verses 21 to 25. It is always good to look at Scripture to help us, to inform us, to challenge us, to inspire us to go, right, okay, I can be equipped. I can take this on board. These are not just mere words in a novel or a work of fiction. This is inspired words by the Holy Spirit, godly words to help and shape and equip us. Romans 7, 21 to 25. Find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of the mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That's a very clear kind of tension, that tension of heavenly mindset and the sinful mindset, the warring against good and evil. Heaven, hell. Is it that stark? Is it that real? But I believe it shows that's a very clear different set of perspectives. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in him that we have strength. And then 2 Corinthians 11, 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That shows that mind is a target. It's a target of the enemy for corruption and deceit. So Scripture offers specific strategies for this mental battleground. Rather than relying on worldly means, methods, practices, we as believers possess divinely empowered tools capable of dismantling strongholds of false thinking. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. particularly by capturing destructive thoughts and aligning them with Christ's truth. Amen? Aligning with Christ's truth. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. Transformation happens through a fundamental renewing of thought patterns. Moving away from cultural pressures toward God's values. It's interesting in that in our nation here in the UK and other nations, but in our nation, I think for many years we've kind of assumed that we're a Christian nation. Are we? Are we a Christian nation? And you think there are some really great moral outworkings, the moral compass within law and liturgy and marriage ceremonies and things like this. But ever increasingly, that moral compass, the biblical godly words, are being removed from our foundations as a nation. Does that really make a difference? I think it really does make a difference. So how are we, therefore, as people of God, going to make sure that we don't compromise on God's word, his truth? That moral compass that is so desperately needed in our own lives and in the lives of this nation, our communities, our very villages that we live, and our towns and our cities. Transformation happens through a fundamental rewiring of thought patterns, moving away from cultural pressures towards God's values. Romans 12, 2. We need to deliberately focus attention on what is true, what is honourable, what is just, what is pure, what is praiseworthy, that redirects all of our mental energy towards that healthy, godly, moral compass. Just as an aside, something I've been challenged on recently in my own walk, in my own faith. Andy, dial down the noise, not just on my amp. My guitar amp, dial down the noise, but dial down the noise. I have cut out YouTube. That's noise. I get so distracted on YouTube. Well, I'm watching really good biblical things. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. 3 hours later, 4 hours later, I don't have the time to do that. Actually, what have I learned? This is my own challenge I'm sharing. I'm not saying to you, you all need to cut out YouTube. I am saying, be wise, be careful. What is the noise that's demanding your attention? Sometimes with good, godly intent, it's still distracting away. The noise of filling up my time, filling up my pressures, demands, the things that are grabbing my attention, but stuff that really isn't going to last. It's not really that fulfilling. And I'm trying to unclutter to really focus on reading more scripture, more of the Bible. I've got myself a Bible with no footnotes, with no referencing, with no study notes. It's just literally a single column Bible. Because I get so distracted. It's great stuff, but in this season of my life, I need to dial down the noise and focus, be disciplined, fill it up with God's truth. Deliberately focusing my attention on what is true, what is honourable, what is just, and what is pure and praiseworthy. Simple, back to basics, faith. Living faith. Nothing fancy, nothing elaborate, nothing to go viral. Simple. Back to basics, faith. Let's read together the next set of verses. Foundation for victory. Remember, we come from a place of victory when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He has already won the battle. He is already victorious. Amen. But we come from that place of victory. But that doesn't mean the battle has stopped. The battle is fierce. The spiritual battle is real. We've got an opportunity and an absolute privilege to have a foundation that we can live upon and grow upon, to outwork upon that foundation for victory. That alignment with God, James 4, verse 7. Could maybe, there's three verses here. James 4, 7. Could somebody come and read that, please? 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9. And Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. So James 4, 7. Oh, no, it's not on there. I thought it saved me looking for it. Let's get somebody to come up and read it. And you've come up and haven't got it ready, look. Okay. Right, James 4, 7.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Wow. Thank you very much. So resist the devil, and he might kind of scamp away a little bit. Resist the devil in Jesus' name, and, you know, he might kind of pop up again. No! Resist the devil and he will flee from you, because the power of Christ living in and through us is so much greater, so much stronger than the devil. Okay, 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9. If you bring your Bible with you, 1 Peter 5, 8 to 9. Would somebody come and read that, please? Thank you, Zoe.
Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
Yeah. Yep. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. Thank you.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So the foundation for victory combines submission with active resistance. Submission to Jesus, submission to the Holy Spirit, submission to God, with then the active resistance. Alignment with God creates the basis for pushing back against destructive forces. We heard that in James 4, 7. Vigilance matters. Recognizing the adversary's tactics and remaining firm in faith. It's a real privilege to get to hear more and more of your stories of your living faith. And it's very hard to not lose it in terms of crying and being emotional. When I see you guys choosing to worship, despite, it's a real privilege to hear your journey, and it's such an inspiration to see you guys still choosing to worship. There's nothing like it when you have that living faith that perseverance, that trust to still say, you know, oh, this is going on my life. It is hard, it's horrible, etc., etc., yet I'm still choosing to worship Jesus. The spiritual armor, truth, righteousness, faith, salvation, God's word provides both protection against harmful thoughts and offensive capabilities. Ultimately, because of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit, ultimately, because of the Lord God Almighty living and breathing in and through our lives, we possess greater strength, inner strength than opposing forces. Not our strength, not human strength, but the strength of Jesus. And that mental peace emerges from sustained focus on God and trusting in his character. This is so important, that sustained focus. Sustained focus. How easy I find, we'll just watch one more episode of this TV series. I won't name which one it is. And then before you know it, it's 1 a.m. And you think, when did that happen? How much time do I give in sustained focus in prayer, in worship, in reading scripture? That sustained determination to cut out the distractions and to really, paraphrasing youth, lock in. Yeah, lock in, Dad. Got to lock in. Locking in to the focus of this narrow path that we're called to live on. Not in some heavy, judgmental, legalistic way. Oh, you know, God's wrath is going to kill you because you haven't been perfect for more than 2 minutes. No. No. Because God's love, grace, and mercy is real, and it's accepting that grace, love, and mercy. But it's that living faith. There's a slight warning. We can get swept up in emotions, swept up in the, come on! But for whose glory? You know, for whose glory? It's for the glory of Jesus Christ. Whom gets the credit? Well, you know, look how much better I am as a person, as a human being. I've managed to sort out whatever, my anger issues or whatever it may be. Well, who gets the glory in your life? Do you give glory to Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit? Or do you give glory to a book written by some psychologist, that's the word, psychologist, that has got, I'm not against books that are from psychology, I'm not against that at all. But how is our life a living testament of Jesus Christ, of God our Father, the Holy Spirit? Who gets the glory? The enemy is lurking around us. We heard that in one of the passages. That word lurking, it's quite a sinister word, isn't it? I can't see a context when, oh, one is lurking happily. It's got that kind of tone of, cynicism, like sinister, lurking. And you've got to kind of say in that voice, lurking. But Satan, the enemy, is lurking around. He knows our vulnerabilities. He knows our weaknesses. When we're feeling tired, worn down, depressed, when we're feeling like there's no God or it's just rubbish and naff, what is church? Ugh. The enemy knows our weaknesses. Oh, this group is going to fulfill my need of loneliness. Not quite getting it in church because, yeah, whatever reasons. But I'm going to go back to this group that I found much strength and hope in. I know they don't profess Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. In fact, actually, they worship Satan. I've had my tarot card readings done. I've had my palm readings done. I know they're into Wicca and all sorts of things, but that's okay because I'm a Christian. I'm not going to allow that to infect me. But I'm finding my need for affirmation, my acceptance is met in that, and that's a good thing, right? Etc., etc. I'll stop there because that's a whole other thing. Be wise and discerning about where we get our affirmation from, about what is feeding our soul, what is impacting our thought process and our mind. Heart posture matters. The enemy knows our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses. Keep seeking the truth so we can detect the counterfeit with ease. We can discern what is of Jesus and what is of Satan. The more we know the truth, the more it becomes obvious what is untruth. Look beyond the boulder. I want to be more like Jesus, but I just haven't got time to spend with Jesus. I'm too busy. So you got that semicolon. This is kind of where the semicolon comes into place here. Want to do something, like I want to go for a walk, but then it rains. I want to spend more time reading the scripture, but I haven't got enough time. I want to get fit, but I can't afford the gym. I want to write more songs, but I don't have a studio. So it's kind of a patterns of destruction, the destructive thoughts. Have you noticed sometimes that if you actually stop and reflect and pause and ponder, how come there's this pattern of thoughts? You kind of feel like you're going round and round in circles. Things seem to just always hit a certain point and then you kind of feel like you're not going any further. You get knocked back and you get set back. Give yourself time and permission to spend time, make time, intentional time, to ask Jesus to help. Show you the influences and voices that have damaged and affected you. The false narratives. I'm a Christian, but I have no joy. I want to read more of the Bible, I have no time. I want to lose weight, there's no gym. I just said that before. Even the disciples of Jesus lacked understanding at times. They had insufficient faith. At times were entertained by ambition and pride. At times, the ideals and absolutes crumbled when tested. The weaknesses were exposed. Even the disciples of Jesus. If you are struggling and battling and feeling like there's no hope, know that there is hope in Jesus. The truth narratives. I am a Christian. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I need to read the Bible, making changes and fighting to get this discipline in. I want to lose weight, so I started walking, reviewing my diet, doing press-ups, i.e. not dependent on the excuses or the negatives, and getting on with what you can do. Where there is a will, there is a way. We will not be discouraged. Can we do this together? So I'm going to say, Jesus, you are holy. And then you respond by saying, holy. Jesus, you are our Saviour. And you respond by saying, Saviour. Jesus, you are all-powerful. And you respond by saying, all-powerful. And all together we say, hallelujah. Okay, you ready? Should we give this a go? It's declaration. Jesus, you are holy.
Holy.
Jesus, you are our Saviour.
Saviour.
Jesus, you are all powerful.
All powerful.
Hallelujah. Kind of want to do it again. We'll come to that in a moment after communion. I was going to sing a song, but I'm not going to do that now. The words that we will not be discouraged. We will fight in the name of the Lord. We will not be pushed back. This isn't some kind of virtuoso beheading and we're going to get our swords out and go and be rampant. No. This is about who we are in Christ. We're not going to be discouraged. Not going to be pushed back. Not be put down. No more kind of lying on our backs, like pushed down and despondent. But we're going to fight in the name of the Lord. Not in fight in the name of Andy Eyre, fight in the name of insert anything else, but fight in the name of the Lord. Because it's in him that gives us the strength, that inner discipline, the inner strength, taking hold of promises. Okay, let's move on. Move on, Andy. So Holy Communion. What a wonderful opportunity to share in this meal together. I'm going to ask in a moment the servers. A flock of cows, apparently. to come and help serve the Holy Communion. And a little bit different today, so we're going to receive the bread and the wine together at the same time. Keep hold of that, and then we'll receive that together. So the invitation. Call and response. So in this situation, in this circumstance, I'm the leader, so I say the Lord be with you, and you're the people, and also with you. Okay. So the invitation. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise you, loving God, for the gift of Jesus Christ, who came to show us your love, heal the broken, and call us into your kingdom. On the night before he died, he shared a meal with his friends. He took bread and gave thanks, broke it. It's already been broken, so I haven't got a loaf of bread. So imagine it's been broken. And gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you and given to you. Take, eat, and remember me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "This cup is a new covenant sealed with my blood. Drink this, all of you, in remembrance of me." Do you ever pause and think, why do we drink blood and take bread, i.e. the flesh of Jesus? It's a bit weird, isn't it? But actually, in our tradition, in my tradition, it's that symbolic remembrance of Jesus dying on the cross for every single one of us, that bread being his body, the bread of life. And then the blood, the wine, the Ribena juice, that's symbolic of how powerful that atonement sacrifice. There is nothing that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. The blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus, that shed blood, that atonement sacrifice is all powerful. No matter what sins that we're enmeshed in, no matter how much we've got ourselves down a path that is dark and sinister, no matter what is going on that is not holy in our lives, the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, his blood and his body that was given and broken, shed for you and I, is all-powerful. The most powerful salvific salvation can only be found. Healing, restoration, that true restoration in the power and authority of Jesus' blood. That's why we celebrate. That's why we remember this incredible meal. Have we truly grasped the authority and the power of this meal? Not our strength, but we can have that cleansing, restoration, that sense of, wow, hallelujah, Jesus, wow. That sense of real praise, giving thanks. A time to really get right. The gifts of God for the people of God. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. If I can ask for the bread and the wine to be distributed amongst us, please. Again, together, the bread and the wine. Normally, we receive the bread first and then the wine later, but we're going to receive them both today. And then we'll share this meal together. Sometimes we will say to each other, with the bread, the body of Christ broken for you. You may have heard this before. And then with the wine, we say the blood of Christ shed for you. Just remember those words. The body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. So please, as you receive the bread and the wine, just eat the bread, receive the wine in this time together. To remind us all that there is nothing, there is no sin, there is no evil that Jesus hasn't already paid the price for. If you are sitting there thinking, I'm not worthy, yeah, of course you're not worthy, you're not God. But in Christ, we can have that living relationship with Him. He has already paid the price, as it were. He knows the sins. He knows the things. He knows the evil that is impacting, infecting, outworking in our lives, in our hearts. But His love, grace, and mercy is so much more greater beyond our comprehension. That we truly can, each and every one of us, can have this relationship, living relationship. We don't need to be feeling the shame, the weight, the guilt. Repentance is good. Conviction is great. Condemnation and judgmentalism and all that stuff is not, I believe, not from the throne room of grace. Love and mercy. You are loved, deeply loved. Your Heavenly Father delights in who you are. Let's say these words together. Gracious God, we thank you that you have fed us with this spiritual food, reminding us of your sacrifice and love. Send us out into the world to live as your people, bringing hope, justice, and peace to those we meet. Amen. How about we say this again before we respond in some sung worship? Jesus, you are holy. Jesus, you are our Saviour. Jesus, you are all powerful. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let us stand as we sing the next few songs.